Okay, it's the eve of a potential Grand Slam weekend for Ireland and the Six Nations, and Alan Quinlan is with us. Quinny, how are we going to do?
Well, great anticipation. Obviously, it's a massive weekend, and everybody's looking forward to this one. Who better to talk to and get a preview of tomorrow's game, and maybe look back at the 09 success was Ronan O'Gara. He's on the line from New Zealand. Good morning, Ronan.
Quinny, how are you?
I'm good. Obviously, it's a huge weekend. Bit of pressure on the team. I want to look back with you in 09. What was it like for you? It was the second Grand Slam ever for Ireland. What kind of pressure was on the team going into that tournament? And just about the confidence and self-belief of getting the job done, what was that like?
Yeah, I think it builds, obviously, but I think it's a great pressure when you get the 4 out of 4 and then you realise that the final day is was in Cardiff in our situation. The reality of the situation was we didn't know, because no one could give us advice in terms of the management, or very few people had experience of being in the previous Grand Slam because it was such a long time ago. So we were a little bit into the unknown. Was preparation exactly the same? It was. And we knew there was a massive prize, but unless you, I suppose, taste it, then you can only comment accurately on it. So we've been knocking on the door for a few years, and 9 years ago seems like a long time, but I think the hype this time seems to be a lot more than it was 9 years ago, but it's a fantastic, fantastic feeling, obviously.
Would it be more of an achievement if this team won the Grand Slam, given it's, you know, if they win it, that they've been away to France and England, and in 09, France and England were in Dublin. Is that harder to do?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, and you have to remember, why we are in this position is really down to, I suppose, one man in Johnny's drop goal, you know. I think the game was dead. His teammates obviously kept the ball for him, but it was an exquisite piece of skill, and usually something like that would mean that the season hopefully will be a Grand Slam season. I think it deserves to be for that moment, because it was a great piece of mental skill and execution. But yeah, going to France, for whatever people say about going to France, I think it took us 81 minutes to break them down, and I think Twickenham could be no different. England have picked a better team. I think Farrell at 10 will give them a big advantage, and it's a team that I don't like, because I think they're stronger with Kerr and Ford at 9 and 10. I think we would have definitely, I suppose, done our homework on them and planned a lot about that. I think everyone would have been happy seeing them at the halfbacks, because deep down, I don't think they have won anything, and people know that.
Just on Johnny Sexton, you obviously played with him, played against him, coached him. Would you have any concerns about the kicking? He didn't seem to be striking the ball that well against Wales. And it's a double barrel question. How important is he tomorrow, going into a really pressurised environment, being in a pivotal position like you've experienced as a number 10?
Yeah, of course. I think he is hugely important. I don't have any concerns about his kicking. I would have concerns if he kicked poorly 2 weekends in a row. But even at this stage, he's hugely proven in that area. So I don't think there's anything to worry about in that regard. I think what is absolutely important are going to be the eyes around him, because they'll go hard at Johnny tomorrow. I think there'll be no doubt about that. Space will be at a premium, and his 12 and 13 have to be his eyes to find kick space, because we don't have to win the game in the first 60 minutes. I think that's very important. I think if we're winning one score of England, a dream scenario is that we obviously lead from start to finish, and Ireland have done that an awful lot. But the most important thing is that we're within one score, either leading or behind, and I think that's where our mental resilience will come into it. We'll get the job done.
Okay, just a word on Joe Schmidt. His record has been phenomenal. 3 championships in 5 years. You worked with him last summer in America. What's your take on him? Did we hear about this relentless pressure, this attention to detail? How impressed have you been?
Yeah,
with
I think
him?
It's an accurate, Quinny. I think you know him as well as I kind of know him. I was lucky enough to spend a week with him, and it's mainly an Irish thing, I think, trying to just pick holes in a guy that has led Ireland to be their most successful period in rugby ever. Their consistency is very good. I think when you spend time with him, you just have to admire his energy. It's infectious when he gets up at Well, he's probably up since 5, having 2 hours video work done before that. But when he comes down for breakfast at 7 or 7:30, you just get such a positive vibe from him that I think feeds into his players. He loves talking rugby. He loves discussing options. I think what he has, he's experienced so many different championships around the world, and I think he's not really fixated on a style of play. I think what he's really good at is picking holes in opposition to suit his team. And you look at the try that Ringrose created at the weekend, you know, 10 metres from the Scottish line, everything says there that the Scots will be hard off the line and there's no way you should get a loop play off there. Yet he ran a beautiful loop play and a great pass to Stockdale, and they scored. That comes down to Joe Smith. That's not the players, that's all his analysis. He has picked that out and the lads have executed his play. So we have a massive advantage as a coach, where I think you can see two or three times in every game that 14 points are probably two tries come from his analysis, which doesn't happen very often in sport.
Okay. Rog, our listeners want to know briefly how New Zealand is going, and then give us a prediction, will you?
I was wondering right when you'd liven up a bit. You're very serious, aren't you?
Well, you were talking about Joe Schmidt getting up early in the mornings. I couldn't get you out of bed when I was rooming with you to get on for team meetings and stuff. But anyway, answer the question. Though.
I'm going to bed. It's 10 o'clock here. You're the one with marbles in your mouth.
Nice.
So, what do I think?
Yeah, will we win the game tomorrow? And briefly tell us how New Zealand is going for you.
New Zealand is going great. Yeah, it's different rugby. It's all out attack, but it's a great, great place to play. I absolutely love it. I think it's a great challenge for me. And lonely. I miss you.
Okay.
Giving me the old cuddle and tucking me into bed at night, cuddy, but other than that,
Grand Slam. I think Ireland. Yes or
yeah,
no?
I'm gutted. I'm not going. I'm being there. I'd love to be in Ireland. The support around the world, obviously over here, everyone is rooting for Ireland. It's going to be a great game, and I think it's what you dream of a boy. I think when you're lucky enough to play for Ireland or for your country in any sport, imagine tomorrow going to bed, you're going as an 8-year-old and you're dreaming of, you have an opportunity to win a Grand Slam in Twickenham. What else could you ask for?
Will we do it?
What an opportunity. I think we will do it. I genuinely do. I think...
Brilliant. There's a bit of fist pumping going on from Paul Williams and Shane Coleman here. They're very, very pleased you're saying that. Rog, we got to leave it there, unfortunately. Thanks a million for joining us. Good luck for your own match in the morning. You're playing the Hurricanes or the Highlanders?
In the morning.
The Highlanders.
Good man, Alan.
Okay. Thanks, Rog.
By the way, that he fairly put you in your place. You used to tuck Rog up at night when you were away on tours.
All the time, yeah.
Would you give him a hot water bottle and all that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Fascinating insight there.
Some great points in Joe Schmidt. And that's
the 14 points thing I thought was interesting. Now, we just heard from an Irish rugby legend. We're now joined by an English rugby legend.
Yeah, Sir Clive Woodward joins us. Good morning, Clive.
Hey Alan, how are you?
I'm very good. We had Ronan on there and he's predicting an Irish win. I'm sure you will be interested to see what you think in a minute. But I'm just going to start with the England selection. 7 changes, a couple of positional changes in there as well. What's your take on the selection and their form?
Well, I think, if we're brutally honest, Alan, it's been a disappointing Six Nations so far for England. Losing the 2 games, but also they didn't play that well against Wales outside the first 10-15 minutes. So the selection was
Are you surprised by that, Clive? Because there was a lot of optimism coming into the tournament.
Oh, crikey. When you've lost one game out of 23-24, you're very surprised. Yeah, I think this split was always going to happen. And I think it's hard to nail down exactly what's actually gone wrong. But there's 2 key things, I think, in international rugby. One is the breakdown, which they've been particularly poor at, and the number of penalties they've been giving away. I think it's 16 in the last game up. I don't think if you play any of the top 5 or 6 teams in the world, you give away 16 penalties, you're going to lose that game. Just simple as that. But a lot of the penalties came from when we've got the ball. If we give 16 penalties away at the weekend tomorrow, we'll lose the game. Simple as that. So the breakdown has been the real problem, because most of the penalties have been there. But it's been weird taking the ball into contact. And that's something they've got to get sorted out. So I'm not surprised at the changes. It's tough on forward, because I've always liked the forward Farrell partnership. I think it allows England to play in a much different way.
Yeah, what will be different with Farrell coming in?
What would be different with Tio coming in at 12, he's far more direct player, far less of a kind of a distributor of the ball. And I think it makes England play far more direct, which they're looking to do. But make no mistakes, England are in a big corner here, which makes them, I think, very dangerous. I think there's been so much going on this week on and off the field. So it's building up to classic, I think, you know, with Ireland coming in as favourites, but playing away from home and England in a real corner. But I think you'll see a really best display from England of the whole tournament. Now, whether it's good enough to beat Ireland, we'll find out tomorrow.
Your current take on the Irish team, and have you been impressed with them? Maybe the tag of being boring has been kind of labelled on this team throughout this tournament. What's your take on that? Do you think we're boring? Predictable?
I don't think boring's come from.
And I'm not looking for any ammunition from you here, but is it the the style of play, being a former coach? How would you analyse Ireland if you were coaching against them?
I'm amazed when I see these. I love watching Ireland play. I think they play a great style of rugby. I think they're... Yeah, just look at that forward pack, Alan. That's one of the best forward packs I've seen from an Irish team for a long, long time. And, you know, when you think of Brian's, like, even in the team at the moment, it's a very, very strong forward team. I think they play really well. When I watch them play, I think they're a very bright team, obviously really well coached. And I don't think they're boring at all. I love watching them play. And, you know, I think Ringrose is a real star, and he's not even kind of first choice. And you think of the guys who are not in the team, Fowler and Co, who are injured. But I think they play a great style of rugby, and I think they're going to be difficult to beat. In saying that, this kind of playing away from home in the Six Nations is a very strange phenomenon, and kind of only Ireland have really nailed a big away win, and that was an amazing finish against the French. So this is building up to a really great game, and yeah, I think Ireland are doing fantastically well. And the number ranked 2 side in the world, so crikey, it just always makes me chuckle when Chris, I'd love to be coach of that team, number ranked 2 team in the world, the players Ireland have got at the moment. They're doing fantastically well.
We just finally, Clive, we spoiled the party in Ye last year. Will you spoil our party tomorrow?
I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be very, very close. I think it's amazing Ireland going as favourites, England playing at home under Eddie Jones. England never lost at Twickenham, I don't think. They haven't ever lost at Twickenham. So there's something going to happen tomorrow. And I think England are in a corner, make no bones, all the nonsense with Jones this week. I think these guys are just going to come out and have a huge, huge game. So I think it will go down to the wire. And don't be surprised if there's the odd drop goal flying around again to try and win these big games at the death. So I think England could definitely win the game tomorrow, and I think it's going to be one of the great all-time England-Ireland games, because there is so much at stake for both teams. If England were to lose this game tomorrow, to lose 3 games and have a really, not only lose, but play so badly in the game so far, it's going to be a big inquest. And a lot of pressure on Ireland here, because this is a huge chance, and you don't get many chances of grand slams. But if this game was in Dublin, I'd say I'd be pretty confident Ireland would come away with a convincing win. I think tomorrow, being at Twickenham, is going to be a very close game, and I think England may just get up tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Clive, for joining us. We're certainly under no illusions how hard it's going to be.
Bookies have both teams at even money. Some of them have Ireland at 11 to 10. The bookies can't call it.
Yeah, and people are asking me all week, are we going to win? Who's going to win? It's very difficult to call. Sometimes you kind of, are you ruling with your head or your heart? My heart is saying Ireland, of course. My head is saying this is going to be very tired. I'm a little bit fearful. I agree with Rog and Clive that, you know, Ireland are good enough to get the job done. Sometimes, Shane, you need a little bounce of a ball, something to go right for you, a little mistake from the opposition. So, look, we'll wait with bated breath, and hopefully everyone will enjoy the weekend. No matter what happens, we've won a championship, so we can still celebrate the team. They've been fantastic.
Obviously a huge game tomorrow, the biggest game in Irish rugby since 2009. We have assembled an A-list panel to preview and look ahead to the game. We better start with the most important person in the room, on Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Taoiseach, you're obviously very busy in America with putting your foot in it with Donald Trump. Will you get to see the game?
Well, certainly I hope to. I actually will be watching it in O'Donoghue's in Times Square.
Really?
No, I'll actually probably follow it on Twitter from some vegan quinoa hipster joint in Chelsea. But I would like to say that I have passed on my best wishes to Martin O'Neill and the players. And, I think, winning the Ashes is special. But winning the Ashes at Twickenham is even more special from an Irish perspective.
Okay, let's go to, I think it's fair to say, the greatest Irish rugby player ever, Brian O'Driscoll. Talk us through the key battlegrounds on tomorrow.
I think, the breakdown will be key. Sometimes you can be, too quick or overzealous. I think England do have groundhogs, Haskell and Robshaw. you know, they're pretty quick on the draw. But, you know, they say, you know, the early bird gets the worm. But, you know, depending on the ref's interpretation, you know, it's the second mouse that gets the cheese.
Okay. Jerry Thornley, Irish Times rugby correspondent, you've joined us with some words of wisdom.
I think very much from an Irish perspective, the English chariot would appear to be in need of some serious repair. It would appear that the head gasket is gone. The timing belt at this stage is all but a fait accompli. And I would say that based on Eddie Jones's recent outburst alone, it would have failed for the emissions test a long time ago. But, you know, I think this conversation proves ultimately that miraculously I've somehow managed to pollinate the current debate with even more flamboyant verbiage than you would expect from a Cambridge dissertation.
Rob Carney, look, you're brilliant for you. Coming in, a big day for you tomorrow. We appreciate you taking the time off to talk to us. Are we in good shape going into this Grand Slam decider?
I'm in incredible shape anyway. I think we're looking pretty good. I know I am, but it's going to be a huge battle.
On a serious note, Rob, what will our approach be?
I think we need to play the game on our terms.
What does that actually mean?
I don't know, but it sounds impressive.
Rory Best, Ireland's captain, will you approach the game any differently?
I don't think any of the players are going to underestimate the task to hand on Saturday. And we're just going to treat it like another game on that. And I suppose it would be easy for me to just sit here and trot out the usual buzzwords and sound bites. But as Joe said, you know, it's the process that has got us to where we are as a group. And, you know, individual players will look at themselves within the group dynamic. And, you know, it's actually not about winning a game, or it's not even about winning a Grand Slam.
What is it about then?
Fair enough. So I'll be honest, it's been Grand Slam on the brain since the opening weekend in Paris. So it's we've the after party planned already.
Okay, Angle, we're going to turn just finally to a man who knows more about sport than probably anybody else in the country. Paul Williams, your thoughts?
Look, somehow there's this almost laughable notion that there's some kind of moral code in rugby. I mean, as a former chief superintendent I spoke to, and I'm not going to name him, but I spoke to him, he was at the game in Lansdowne Road last weekend, and he said there was a particular type of savagery, and I mean savagery, by some of the players who he described as thugs. And I use that word, thugs. And the real worry, and I use this sparingly almost, is that these thugs have absolutely zero recognition for any sort of authority or rule of law, not even the referee or the TMO. I mean, it's just a barbaric savagery of thuggery of the highest order.
I'll inflict a bit of barbaric savagery on him the next time I meet Tierney.
Aidan Tierney, impressionist and comedian there. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter and see all his sketches at Tierney Talks. He's gone running out of the studio now because he knew Paul wouldn't be happy
Tierney,
about
hang on here.
It was spot on. He got you good.